Bonneville AFS meeting, July 25th.
You are going to hook up a little mask.
All right, the most important man's here.
Hey!
How you been? Not nitrous oxide.
Okay. Where's Langsley? He can catch up.
He'll catch up if he gets time.
So I guess we'll get started. Before we go around and introduce ourselves, today is a very special day for one person here. Mr. You're gonna present your cake to him?
I heard
and
you
not
did.
On him.
So happy birthday Gary.
Again
and again and again. It just doesn't end. Looks like somebody beat us to the punch.
Can we put our donuts on the cake?
Yeah, we'll have to put donuts. Yeah. We'll give you the donuts and the cake for the long haul to Stockton. So that way, in case you get stuck up, you'll have something to eat. Here, I got some donuts.
Well, angel food cake.
Give it to the California
border guys. Well, I am trying to incorporate Burns' healthy eating request.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we blew that.
Okay. I'm sure you did. Voodoo donuts.
It's my birthday! I got donuts!
Okay, so Gary's saying he's leaving here at 2 o'clock because he wants to ride to Stockton. So we'll try to get as much done as we can. I sent out yesterday, I'm sorry it was so late, a draft agenda. It's kind of just and I'm sorry I left you out of there. I noticed it this morning.
I remember that.
Well, it kind of took last year's AFF meeting and then kind of just forwarded it. And then when I did that, I looked at it today and I was like, oh, shit.
Rick, good thing I was on someone else's list today, huh?
You're always on someone else's
list. You're not
list.
The only one that got left off.
Yeah, you're on the list, but not
that's
the
list. So anyway, what I'm going to do is I think the best way to lay this out is if I just review last year's meeting and some of the meetings we've had since about the adult fish facility at Bonneville, and then we'll just open it up for discussions. Last year we met around August,
I was gone.
Yeah.
I was fishing Alaska.
August 14th, and I sent these meeting minutes out, but if you go to the last page, it basically, the three things that came out of that was...
Did you read those?
CritFic was going to look in other ways of getting information they need for harvest, using fish count windows to reduce handling of fish runs, look at increased juvenile tagging, a better handle on the numbers of fish needed and why. NOAA Fisheries, they agreed to a different picket lead and time, which we can just dismiss now. And the Corps was going to install a new set of picket leads that ran parallel to the flow, dividing weirs 37 in half. And we did do that. And then there was a follow-up to that meeting, which was in September last year, to see how the sampling was going, etc. There's seven things in this, but a lot of them is all, of course, to deal with temperature and picket leads. So it said, after the sample season, the team's going to work on drafting CritFic AFF protocols in anticipation of the 2009 sample season. And I don't know where that's at. Has it happened? Is it something we need to do? Can you...
Sampling protocol
for AFF.
Yeah, the FPP was updated with those new
for CritFic. Okay. And then a braille pool modifications was going to be looked at it during winter maintenance, and I doubt that.
Didn't happen. No,
that did not happen. Okay.
We looked at it.
Well, okay.
We did not implement.
So let's put braille pool on things to continue to look at. So, you know, time flies by, and next thing you know, it's FPOM's meeting in May, and John calls up and says, hey, we're not getting the fish we need. What can we do with this new picket lead, vertical picket lead? So what came out of that was let's shift the sampling schedule to longer later, and that seemed to be fairly effective after...
Well, actually, what happened is that following, you know, so we shifted the schedule, but they ended up getting all their fish in the first couple of hours. And so,
damn fish.
Yeah. So it was more of a matter. Jeff went through and looked at the pit tag weirs below where the picket leads were, And for whatever reason, that first 4 weeks, the greater proportion of the fish were using the far side. And it was in the 75% range of the fish were using the far side for whatever reason.
Right.
And they're making that decision when they're rounding the band. And then all of a sudden, that following Monday after our meeting, boom, you know, the fish started using the near side.
You guys make your recommendation, and look what happens.
Yeah. So up to date now, that seems to be working. We're going to have temperature issues we'll have to talk about today. But in a reviewing of the AFF, from what I know, I was hoping Langsley would be here. I know Gary can probably correct me as I describe some of this stuff, but the AFF was built over 30 years ago for the Corps' needs in, say, CRFM to evaluate our fish passage facilities. And as we've, you know, gone on 30 years here, it's the same, really the same facility with some minor changes. The CRFM program for the Corps is slowly phasing out, we're hoping, if we can meet our performance standards in the biop. So our long-term plan for that is to phase out completely. So we're going to have this facility. What are we going to do with it? Funding is a big issue in the Corps as well. I've got the Fish and Wildlife O&M program. If I put anything in there for the AFF, it's going to probably be, you know, stacked at the bottom of the pile next to all of the other issues I have at Bonneville, all the fish passage, the ladders, A and B branch. You know, we're talking big ticket items. It's been 10 years. It's the roof's been leaking, and I've just was able to cobble some money together this year to get it repaired. So I'm keeping my fingers crossed just to get the roof fixed. And that thing's been, what, leaking for a long time?
Yep.
So there should be a contract going out next week to at least redo the roof. So, woo! Yeah. New roof.
They're going to redo the entire thing or just patch it?
They're doing the whole thing. Well, I think.
That's the idea.
When they probably take it apart or rip it off or whatever their plan is, they're probably going to find some issues where it's going to be like, oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
So that is not under the stimulus or the ARA funds. That is something out of my own budget. So anyway, that's going to be an issue. If there's any long-term plans that the Corps is going to be responsible for funding, it's probably going to be long-term, way out there.
Okay.
So, talking about the meetings, I'd like to hear what CritFix video or other ways to get this data harvest management is. Right now, the current need for the Corps, we're doing some research and evaluation with lamprey and adults, and we're going to be doing some down the road for the ladders.
You could use the bypass only and get lamprey, so you don't have to have the ladder open for lamprey. Just so the only thing we've got is one if we have, and we're, you know, we're kind of consolidating some of our adult planned adult evaluations for when we get some big chunks of modifications on both juvenile and adult. We were talking about the next major one. When we got John Day ladder modified, and then we'd be able to also see if there were any effects on spillway and any other modifications you do in John Day. So we're consolidating that down to smaller, fewer years, less often needed. So yeah, it's we could kind of put together, we had to, a likely scenario of taking, and that's the big one. And if that works out well, there, I don't know what else we next plan down in the lower river. That's the big next check in.
Right.
That's
so you think with the LOP system you get all the lamprey you would need for these lamprey studies, you think?
Yeah, but I mean, it once for most of them, yeah. Part of this is if we proved the concept, so to speak, of an entrance mod, and we proved the concept of a nighttime induction thing, I mean, try to find this too, is not to spend a lot of money evaluating until you do a whole bunch of these, or in other words, to assume they're going to work. We have limited funds, so they're willing to take some chances that the application will work again at another site, and probably won't, as long as we know it hasn't hurt anything, then it's we're well proceed that way for a while and then test.
Well, we'll have results from Bonneville making their
and we're going to have, you know, we'll always have the pit tag fish potential to just do conversions and what's coming, what's making it through the system overall.
So that leads us to our main user is CritFic and what their needs are, and can that get shifted away from the AFF? If it doesn't, what can we do to the AFF to make it a better facility? Who's going to pay for that? I mean, CritFic's got some commitments with.
I would say it's CritFic. Well, it's the needs set out.
Let's just say the Harvest Biop under in the USV Oregon. Responsibilities, I guess the Pacific Salmon Treaty, and there's definitely a need, and how can we, when it boils right down to, how can we reduce the need at that facility for fish handling and come up with something a little less invasive to the species? So where we are today is, what's the path forward, and how are we going to get there? Really. We have our short-term needs, but what's the long-term plan?
Maybe first we could just say, is picketed leads as it working out seeming to work good enough?
Well, so
we don't have
what has it been? We had 3 weeks where we were at or just below 1% for the Chinook. Steelhead, we were sampling at a higher rate, but there's 200 fish a day going over, and so it's they really haven't gotten here yet.
So far, it's not real bad, but it's not perfect.
But 2 weeks ago, we dropped off to 0.75%. 0.75%. And then last week, we dropped off to 0.65%. So it is dropping off. So, one issue would be is if we could have the ability of raising and lowering the center dividers, which we don't currently have that ability. Okay. So, and then, of course, the first 4 weeks when we're sampling it way less than that. That's an issue.
I guess it gets down to what does that do? I mean, in the long run, can you make up for that? And then how bad does that affect your sampling? Or do you get 7.5 good enough or really good enough?
For sockeye, how many stocks do we have?
Yeah,
we just have the 2 stocks. So sockeye really isn't the issue. These numbers, those were just for Chinook. Sockeye, we've been able to get our numbers, and then, last year we got them with 2 picket leads.
So we've done 0.65 or thereabouts for Chinook.
For Chinook.
Is that of the project passage, the entire project?
Yeah.
Or is that just
of the entire project.
So that earlier issue we had talked before the meeting started, maybe it could be the turbidity plume that comes out when they fire it up.
It was, it was just kind of strange that they did that.
Flush it earlier, and there's some options there.
Yeah. And if it would be possible to, raise and lower... it's of course
right. They built that, on a dime just to get it in there and test
but
it.
You can reach out with a crane and do it.
No, not really.
Not that part, right?
It's not as easy as people seem to think it is. So while it can be done in an emergency situation, it's not something that we can be done regularly.
Freeing up a crane operator to go over there, on a moment's notice is going to be difficult.
Anytime cranes
involved. Yeah, I didn't think of that's what I mean. And how? I guess it also gets, if you were going to do it that way, you do it every time? Or how do you anticipate specifically when you're going to want to do it? Or are you always reactive then?
Well, it would be, we would go through our sampling for the week, and, early in the week you should be able to tell whether you're getting, close. Because, if you're not even getting 1% for the day, and there's bad days, and so you wait till the next day, and if it still doesn't look like you're getting the numbers, and then...
Is there a way to do like a... partial permanent thing that solves the question?
A temporary permanent thing?
Maybe. Yeah, and I mean like a permanent alteration that's easy to do that works.
Well, I was thinking something similar to the current pick of leads.
Well,
and leaving it
if we had
or change.
But when you lift those, you're going to want to put the other two down, right? Which would then be blocking the entire ladder, which is what we're trying to avoid completely.
No,
so I think you're going to have.
Right.
The core isn't going to be overly thrilled with that.
Right.
Ever since we started using this system, it's been working great from our end. We haven't gone out of criteria in the lower part of the ladder due to shad buildup on that valve. Mm-hmm. We haven't had to clean it, blowing it down every so often.
Fix something that we didn't anticipate.
All right. So it's working good, the lower ladder criteria. From what I hear, when I go into the AFF, you know, they tell me they're getting their fish. How much effort are they putting in on average per day?
They should be out there sampling 6 hours.
6 hours?
Yeah, unless they happen to get their fish early and then they take off early.
Yeah.
So we look at, you know, like the 10-year average and what happened the previous week and kind of come up with a.
So when they go in there to sample, do they know what number they're trying to target for that day?
Yeah. Yeah, so we you know, based on the 10-year average and the way the run's looking, you know, we'll estimate roughly how many fish are going to, you know, be going over in the week and then come up with a sample rate. So, you know, at the beginning of the week, they'll know, you know, we need 50 Chinook a day and, you know, 60 sockeye a day. And that'll be their target. So in some days, you know, they may get, you know, 35 sockeye, and then the next day they get more and, you know, balance it out for the week. So, and in the past, we just sampled, you know, as many fish as you can possibly sample in 6 hours, and we would end up with, and that's back when we had the 4-pick at least, but we'd end up with our total number.
So it sounds like this configuration is working. You know, it's not your perfect situation, but it's working as we designed it and planned on using it. I guess the long-term issue is that's short-term, but what's the fish handling down the road? You know, if you're going to need to continue using the AFF, what needs to get changed, and is there any efforts to get away from handling fish and coming up with the numbers you need?
Before we go there, Bern, I think I see three issues that I talk about. The first one is current. You know, what are the problems? How well are they being met? And obviously, we got a temperature issue that'll probably come up big time this year. So that's kind of the current thing. And then I'd like to talk about where we're going in the future in terms of reducing the number of fish that are handled. And thirdly, I'd like to talk about how we plan to go about modifying the system to accommodate any sampling, whether it's for core or for anybody else, in a more benign manner. So relieve some of our, you know, so that's kind of a two-pronged thing, but that's way out there. I see that here as, you know, given the money and priorities. So first, you know, let's I just want to hear, you know, from you guys what the concerns are. I know what some of them are.
Right.
But how well are we meeting, how well are you meeting your goals? And it sounds like we're falling a little bit short. What does that mean in terms of harvest management shortfall? You know, are we going to lose it here? Are we going to end up with a misbalance in terms of harvest because of this shortfall? Or are we within the allowable flexibility? So just to establish that part of where we're at today and what's going to happen next, you know, in the next few months,
right,
and then, you know, that situation of high temperatures and shutting the facility down. So I don't know if there's anything, you know, that'll stalemate on that, but at least let's touch on that. Then I'd like to talk about the long term, those two points again.
Right.
Are we through with the near term first discussion?
I'd like to get a little clarification. I've been in this arena and just fortuitous I was here. My flight's not until 4:20.
Lucky you.
Yeah.
Lucky us.
But, you know, what information do we collect and what do we use it for?
Okay. The long-term information we've been collecting since the 80s has been primarily length and age composition, and that's what's used for, you know, not only next season's forecast, but also in-season management. And that's the most important part of our job, you know. And then in addition to that, we have MOA projects for genetic stock composition, and then also a pit tag upstream migration, you know, timing and survival and that sort of thing.
So why do we have to run fish through the pit tag additional
tag?
So
I see
we
those
pit tag,
fish
we,
on the readers, yeah, that they're vulnerable AFF.
Yeah.
So the fish that you tag there, okay. All right.
What's the purpose of that again? Is that, that's, I know there's, when we get survival, we get conversion rates from it, but that's, is that the purpose, or is there something?
Well, there's that, and then stock-specific escapements is the main goal, and then, you know, future shaping of harvest potentially for.
You guys are tagging one source.
What's that?
Are you tagging known sources?
No, we're taking unknowns.
Tagging unknowns.
So yeah,
and then you tag a
portion of the run, and then you know,
yeah. So there's two parts there. We're working on the GSI. So potentially we'll be able to identify a stock and then be able to see where it goes.
So the genetics, you're putting those two together, basically.
Correct.
Okay, that makes sense.
John, did you say you take length and weight, or length?
Length and scales for aging, and then we take a bunch of other data, as far as fish condition and marks, wounds, other tags, of previously tagged fish.
But is one of those practices the one that primarily is being affected by the way we do this now? It's mostly your sampling for harvest that's really... you could get the data pretty much, you don't need the sample sizes for the other part, do you?
Well,
which one is limited?
If you talk to our geneticist, you'd want to sample at 5 or 10% of the run.
So,
is there another way of getting that information besides a bottom mill with other numbers? Can we go to terminal, the ends of the different runs?
Well, part of the idea to understand stock structure, at Bonneville would be to help manage fisheries.
I understand, but developing a database, the genetic database, which is part of this, wouldn't it be simpler just to go to the terminal end of the fish's migration, collect samples there, and all the fish that already spawned, and start to build a database there rather than kind of unknown sample, and then hope the pit tag shows up somewhere that you can correlate back to the sample? That seems kind of backwards.
Yeah.
Well, I'm missing something?
I would assume and hope that what they do is, because we are working on these same type things at Granite, is that they have the background information on the genetic stock structure from the tributaries, the upstream riparian areas. And the idea there is that, when the fish are coming through, who's in that early group? Who's in those peaks when we have a lot of fish coming through and harvest is on? Where are they going? And the only way you know that is by collecting the fish as they pass Bonneville, or you pit tag, representatively across the entire basin.
Okay, that's getting the second part, but for developing the database for the genetic...
They're not developing the database.
We're involved in developing the database, and that's... Not these samples. These are the unknown origin fish.
But so, aren't you correlating once you find out where they go, or what's the point of tagging?
So the database is set up for the genetic stock identification of each individual stock, and then we can look at an unknown individual lower in the system, and identify that to a particular stock.
Right. Yeah. You've got a broad enough database to be able to do that now?
Yes.
And you need anyone's 10% to be able
we realize that's not feasible.
What does he really need?
Because the more samples you have, the more...
Right. Yeah.
That's not...
Yeah. The whole population.
Yeah. So, he's... Yeah. Ideally, he'd want to sample every individual, but it's not... Right.
Yeah. This is Bonneville.
Right.
Just
there.
So the idea is you have an unknown, you can sample an unknown individual, find out its particular stock, put the pit tag in it, and then you get an idea of which stocks.
The pit tag is.
Right.
Really?
You can get the same thing. Like with sockeye, we can, this last several years, actually we're doing it through MOA, so it'll be the next 9 seasons. But with sockeye, it's really simple. You have two stocks. And, we get a count. Well, actually, we had quite a few last year that we ended up tagging
this year.
You guys are getting
some. Again
this year. Numbers this year.
So in that particular case, you can use pit tags alone. You can use pit tags alone and see basically where they turn and get your stock-specific escapements. With Chinook and steelhead, it's a little more difficult.
Yeah, I would think that the whole idea. Well, yeah, that's if you have the tank. It's the.
If you have
Sorry, I'm still not getting the pit tank part of it. I mean, that seems to be a secondary.
So let's say we sample a fall Chinook, and then through GSI we determine it's a Snake River fall, you know, and it's a stock of interest, and you know, through pit tagging that fish, you know, we can look at when fall Chinook generally go through the hydro system, and then you can shape fisheries or, you know, management actions.
Don't we already know that? I mean, I thought we already knew when these fish go through, so I thought what you were trying to do was get the composition of those runs at Bonneville, the composition.
Right.
We want to know who's here in bigger numbers, lesser numbers, whatever. That's coming from the GIS, or GSI.
GSI.
Genetics. What's coming from the genetic sample? So you're getting that, and you're saying the database for that's already well-developed well enough that you don't need more of that. So I just don't quite see the use of the pit tag. Not that it matters in this case, but
You get run timing and you know, passage, and then ultimately survival for that particular stock.
There are other ways to do that. Good. Well, that's interesting. Because, I mean, the other way to do that is the flip side, and that's to tag them before they go out.
Right.
And get those numbers as they come back for index stocks. Right. If you're interested in a stock of a certain stock, you tag those on the other end and not have to handle them. But, you know, that's kind of getting part two of what I'm talking about. But, okay, well, that's interesting. I didn't realize that. I thought you guys were doing more pioneering genetic work, which was
looking at
all these stocks and trying to develop database. But if it's already developed, then...
The individual stocks are developed. Well, and it's a continuing thing.
Because we're getting finer and finer and finer, but how much detail do we need to manage effectively?
It's getting bigger and bigger samples. Different stocks.
How long have you guys been doing that, genetic?
4 years or 5 years now. And we did some...
And your MOAs for 9 or 10 total to continue this work?
Yeah. And so the MOA is funding the Chinook portion, and then NOAA is funding the steelhead portion.
Okay. Well, I mean,
yeah, the big picture gets down to what some people may say harvest micromanagement or better management versus the effects on those fish from the handling of it. That's really what we're talking about.
How detailed do you want to get?
How much detail do you have
versus
to manage it
the effect of the other?
Effectively, yeah. I mean, that's the issue.
I don't know how to answer that. I don't know that John knows that. I mean, that's kind of a bigger question. That's, I think, really what I expect to get here at the meeting today is the next meeting. You know, I mean, it's become the agenda for the next topic. You know, is there anything we can resolve today? And that's kind of more the real-time operation facility this year. Is there something that we need to do or that we can modify? Really what I'd like to do is get a discussion going about ways to reduce the need for handling and sampling fish, and that's, you know, to what degree can we use pit tags or index stocks or whatever. Maybe I'm just being naive here, but it seems to me there's ways to tag fish on the other end of the life history and then use that as they come back to look at proportions of their, run. And it's a more a coarse reconstruction, but it gets finer as you get more tags out there and as you determine what your index stocks really need to be. You know, does it have to be every stock in the basin, or can we choose this one, and this one, and reconstruct well enough for harvest management on that scheme? You know, I'd like to talk about that, but that's not, you know, we got to get more people involved. You know, Peter Dying does, people like that need to be involved. But the other part of it then, too, is another discussion of, and this involves you guys in brainstorming as well as Chris Cottle and the others in Perry too, on what can we do in that facility to make it better. You know, the things that bother me are fish out of water. I just don't like to see fish vomit down the flint. So is there a better way to do that? I know the purse strings are tight, but, you know, at least let's talk about it and figure out what can we do, because like Diger challenged me yesterday. He says, well, what do you think is better? That's the guys who are out there. You know, I know what I don't like. I don't know how to fix it. You know, the engineers, you know, is there a better way to sort fish without having them flopping on their sides all the way down the floor? So, you know, those are the kind of two things I'd like to take away is pursuit of those two issues. But first, And is there anything for this year that we need to do? That's
or any tests we can do? I mean, is that, yeah. You're talking about like the window video stuff, right. Too, stuff
well,
like that.
Yeah.
Practical potential other ways to get.
Well, this is just off the wall.
At the length of age, there potentially is other ways.
The length, yeah, Beaver and B-Run may be able to get at the second do jacks.
Okay.
You know, I mean, that's just
a big one.
A, B, you know, is it an A, is it a B? You know, it's not going to be perfect, but you know, there's an overlap, there's a jacks too, but you know, that is something that we could do by visual counts or with cameras or these
yeah. And so, works. And then likewise for the GSI portion on Steelhead, the interest there is to get at that A and B issue because, I mean, we don't fully believe
is it genetics? Is it just, you know, happenstance, one's bigger
right.
than the other?
Well, yeah, I mean,
cold water rearing?
Do you spend, do you spend one more year in the ocean and now you're a bee?
Yeah,
you
know? Yeah, exactly.
And that's,
why?
Yeah.
Because of
and we are pursuing that one.
I think that'd be, yeah, those are good
and
things.
And the steelhead genetic stock composition is not as developed as the Chinook. I mean,
okay.
they have 7 or 8 more years on the Chinook database than they do on steelhead. So, and then likewise with steelhead and the pit tagging, I mean, they spend such a long time in the hydro system, and nobody really knows. I mean, we have, the Peary radio tag studies, with a much smaller sample size, but now we'll have pit tags out there this year. And
is there a steering committee on this? Is there anybody who's got all this? Is this is there some group somewhere else who's going, are you idiots? You know, we've already done all this.
Yeah,
we've already figured all this out.
We
have a plan. Or is there anybody who's got a grand plan on how this is all going to come together?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
I mean, we just...
Is there a harvest TAC?
There is.
There is.
There's
TAC, and then there's the Chinook Technical Committee with PSC. And then they use the HCOMS and information.
They're using that to set harvest stuff. They're not... Is there anybody who's actually looking at the methods that they're using to do this? Or are they just using the methods?
Grand plan
the
technical.
Yeah, I mean, thinking
out. Well, I mean, it's with both groups. I mean, part of it, with CTC, I mean, they use a vast majority of coded wire tags, for managing ocean harvest, and so they understand, the limitations. But then you have a long running data set, and so that's what they continue to use. They are making some transitions into using GSI to manage ocean fisheries. And it's actually easier there because, you're looking at stocks from, thousands of miles of, or thousands of populations, and it's a little, they're way more diverged than some of our stocks. So they are incorporating GSI more and more into their, and then there's been some talk about, pit tags.
There has been.
Because, and then from the tax standpoint, they're kind of stuck in the same thing. This is what we've always done. This is how, things have been set up. And so it's, it has its problems, but you have long-running data sets. So
I, from my perspective, I do a pretty good job of looking down the road. And, we're in all probability going to go to GSI. For a lot of these things. I mean, just talk about your idea of pit tagging all the basins. Just not just the resources, but the impacts to the fish, how many fish you have to tag, and the potential, there seems to be indications of SAR impact from doing that to all those fish, whereas I think with 1% of the run in good GIS database, we could get better data.
Right.
So you are potentially impacting the survival of 1% of the run versus having a potential impact having to tag.
Yeah, but I don't. It's a misconception that you're impacting 1% of the run. You're diverting 50% of the fish, roughly, in the wash and ladder into this facility and
yeah.
Associated delay. You
to get 1% of the sample, we got to do 50% of the fish.
Well, I mean, so.
No.
So in the
math there.
Yeah. So
but it's 50% of those coming off the Washington Shore ladder.
At the time we're sampling.
Second powerhouse.
You have to divert that many to get out of the samples.
So
those going up that time.
So for that day, you get a percentage of the total passage for the project.
Right.
No. All right.
Remember that you've got Bradford Island ladder out there.
Right.
And you
you've got Cascade Island, Cascade and B Branch that are bringing up the spill fish that they can't sample. So all they get is the fish that come up.
So we're 25% of the run of the entire Columbia River adults to get that information.
So 24% of the run
sometimes
are being run.
So the way the facility works is, you know, in the past when we were able to drop down picket leads across the entire Washington Shore ladder to divert fish through the sampling facility, and then from that we would sample as many fish as we possibly could in a 6-hour time period and get roughly 1% of the run. So the fish are diverted through the facility and then back out to the main ladder. And so the way the picket leads are set up now, we're only blocking half the fish ladder. You know, and diverting them up through the sampling facility, and then we sample, and then they go back to.
That you're diverting 25% of the fish, but you're only getting 1% sample. What's
well,
that? The 24% of the fish are diverting.
So we're only there for 6 hours of the day, so it's not 25% of the fish.
Well, but we have the lead, so we're rest. Of
yeah,
the
so we're blocking half the fish ladder. So whatever comes through, whatever when, comes through during the times we're sampling.
When you're not there, are the fish still diverted into the sample facility?
If Idaho is still sampling.
What?
If there are no researchers in the building, the fish are not, the attraction water should be low enough that fish are not necessarily attracted through the facility.
So are the leads pulled up?
The leads are up.
Yeah, so when we leave, I mean, it's wide open.
So we're not
going through that.
The point is that it's more than 1%. It's whatever's being diverted into the facility for the hours they're working. Those fish have to go through the false weirs, slide down the chutes, and
either they get selected or they get
pulled up the ladder. Bang, 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 bang. Or they lose these fish.
And that's the long-term issue.
There are existing protocols of when to shut that down based on temperature that interfere with what they are. That's going to be a big one.
And that's the big issue. That's the end of the
world. Right. Yeah. So before we continue this discussion, can we just close the door, if we can, on the summertime?
Yeah.
We've got the picket leads in. We're coming into some higher temperatures. We've got our fish passage criteria that lays it out. Do we have any problems right now or foreseeable in the next couple weeks?
I mean, our criteria are what they are as far as temperature and stuff.
Right.
Is there gonna be
last year we sampled from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. for 4 days a week. And I don't believe.
Well, I've got the fish passage plan handy right here.
Was it adequate?
No.
I knew this would be a discussion.
But was it sufficient?
Well, I mean, it sounded like last year we worked out that detail and it seemed to work out for you guys.
And it was from 70 to 72, and we agreed not to sample above 72.
Right. And there's always going
to
be the
4 days a week from 6 to 10 o'clock. Water temperatures between 70 and 72 allow for mandatory steelhead sampling.
I guess kind of the question is given the limitations that were put on you guys last year, did we screw up the harvest? Did we screw up? Did the world stop? Was there a disaster?
Mike?
Yeah. He's not the guy.
That's why Matt Lovitz is on the phone.
That's the question.
That's from the guy from the science department over there.
Did somebody say that we screwed up?
Every year we screw up. We get it
from TAC constantly. And there's a push to, you know, sample more and do more. And why do we have these restrictions? I mean, up in Granite, they get a sample, a huge proportion on the run, and why?
We need to have TAC, the reps, to be here. I'll talk about that to get the thing teed up in the right groups. I think that's what has to happen. I mean, it's
a TAC meeting with.
I hate this, where you get, you know, it's a situation where we're stuck in the middle. These guys are pushing us.
We have TAC on that front. We have, you know, the CTC.
Mm-hmm.
And you know they need their sample at a high enough rate, and the big one is definitely steelhead, because that drives fall fishery.
Right.
And then also pressure, you know, from Science Center because of the steelhead sampling, and GSI and Pitt Tech and Steelhead, they're very interested in that this year. So the first year we're putting Pitt Tech and Steelhead.
So I guess a little bit, the second question is how far off was it? You know, how much of it?
I'm sure Fryer has something.
Temperature requirements.
Right.
Do we ever see these reports? All this data?
It's a different arena.
Well, I guess what would be interesting for me, I think, is how many days were you impacted by the temperature restrictions? How far off your sample requirements were you? And how many days are we projecting to have that same situation this coming year?
And what was the effect on harvest mismanagement? I mean, that's the key here.
And I know it's just a guess, but everybody says, oh, it's going to be worse this year. Well,
yeah,
how much
worse?
50%?
Right.
No. Well, let's take a guess.
62 degrees out there.
It depends on what
it's
a test.
Oh, I know. Right there. Well, then maybe you can make a table and say, you know.
So above 72
impacts.
Degrees.
We can ask what it's going to be.
No, I meant for the number of days you're going to miss.
Right.
Well, depending on the temperature of the warm water sample.
It's all going to be temperature driven.
How many days of that did they miss their sample size? What was you have an idea of the magnitude of the problem last year with how many days and how far off you were.
Fall harvest. Okay. In 06, we were better than 07. And 08, we were mixed bag.
And then 05, we were shut down for
a month. I think Gary's right. We got to talk to this nice staff. We've got to be at these meetings.
Right. Well, I think it's time we set something up with the TAC.
Yeah.
And we had that meeting.
I think so, because
in the meantime,
it's not fair to push on these guys. No. I mean, they've got a job to do. It's just a matter of the people pushing them. We need to have that discussion so that we can, that's the right way to go with all this. It isn't just the part that's going to happen this year.
It's
the future part, too. You know, what can we push hard enough to get a trend to a different method, or are we stuck with having to handle this many fish? If we are, then we need a better facility. Who pays for it? You know, does it come from the states, the tribes, from NOAA, you know, Corps?
How about the people that use it, right?
Well, I know you guys right. Do. We all do.
Well, right now, isn't the funding Mitchell Act funds? And what else do you get funded out of that?
Our Pacific Salmon Treaty funds are our base funding for this project. And so that's congressional appropriation. And then the other half, well, and then we have, for the Pitt Tag and GSI, half of the funding comes from Bonneville, MOA. And the other half comes from NOAA Science Center.
Which would be Mitchell Act funds.
Well, I don't know.
That's
Mitchell
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's, yeah.
Okay, so we've got
it's
NOAA, buy-up BPA, and Pacific Treaty funding this program. Okay.
Did you Pitt Tag fish last year in that 70 to 72 range, temperature-wise?
Oh, for the temperature? Yeah, we Pitt Tagged all the way up to 72. For Chinook, we didn't do steelhead.
Right, but I know you haven't done steelhead yet.
Yeah. And
so, I mean, how did their conversion compared to fish that have been previously pit tagged that we just detected come through?
There is no significant difference between the two. And just going on raw numbers, you know, the fish that we pit tagged actually had higher survival. But
run through.
So we love 1 year worth of data.
Yeah, that's right. Well, as long as fish was one.
And then, you know, we looked at delays. I believe it was right about an hour, you know, going through the AFF.
That's not a huge.
So it's not, and then, you know, so it's, you know, survival's about the same, and there's just a little bit of a delay. So
how'd you figure out the delay through the AFF?
Well, you look at the pit tag fish that passed when the AFF was not in operation, and then the pit tag fish that go through the AFF.
Because they got 10 years
below and above,
so they're not direct.
Yeah, and then you have them in the flumes.
So for the next FPOM, is it possible for you to get that information together to talk about your sampling?
What we missed from last year.
Yeah, and maybe even get it to the point of how it impacted your harvest management.
Yeah, if that's possible.
Okay.
But that, I mean,
and part of it,
is
well,
June
it's
9th,
like,
I think.
It's a pretty full schedule.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. schedule right now, we may want to wait until the August FCOM for this particular discussion.
Well, we're coming up to August temperature issues.
All
right,
you'll be along.
Yeah. That's all right. I can deal with
the line. Okay. For the years when they got the sample.
Well, then
that's so. That's July 9th. If not, we can push it off. Maybe after that, have a special.
Well, let me know because we got a couple of guys. Just one guy in our office. I thought was the tag rep, and I'm pretty sure he's involved with the Chinook.
Yeah. I don't think I want to have that discussion. I just want to know where we are, because at FBOM we can at least lay out a path forward. All right, so it sounds like we've got our, if we can get this information and pick this up at the next FBOM for in season this summer, and then it's basically we got to meet with the TAC and start this. Get serious about where we're going.
I think that's really what's left.
Because we're not going to make a decision here without the TAC.
The one thing, what was the first part?
In season, this season right now.
The one other piece, though, the third thing is what I think that we can do in O&M is get John, his guys, Chris Cottle and his guys, and Chris Peary and everybody who's worked on fish in that facility to get together and think about ideas to modify it. I'm not talking about a huge. I'm most worried about.
Sorry. I was gonna ask Tammy. We got a count window at the lower end of that entrance. There's a return channel right in there too. Was there ever a direct take system on that?
As far as I know, wasn't there a gate in there so people could decide?
I mean, that's one way.
That's
is a directed take, is that you get somebody down the count window monitoring the fish that are coming in there, you flip the gate and shunt the fish that you want up the ladder, the other fish go recycle back out into the out into the ladder. So right. You only get...
We'll have you at that meeting, for sure.
Yeah, I'll be there.
That's
the idea.
And that came up last year, but I think with the current configuration, you know, you'd have fish go up and stay. I mean, not necessarily go all the way through the trap.
Stay where?
Well, either, you know, in the collection pool. I mean, part of
1 hour delay.
Yeah, but you got 1 hour delay. You just
set that. Right. Right, 1 hour delay. But just because you shunt an individual fish up through that system, I mean, part of what drives fish is you end up with enough of a population inside the trap in the collection pool that they're, you know, pushed to go through.
So we got a crowd.
So when we have really
That's there's some problems there too. That may or may not work. The other idea I have, which is crazy, clear up the wall, I know, but the idea is to be able to actually watch fish go through a clear flume, make your choice, trip a rotary gate, dump the fish into a tank. I mean, they never. You just watch them move. They're migrating through, and you have a way. It's almost the Ice Harbor trap.
Part of what I do like about that idea is, you know, I mean, as fish come up, you know, through the current configuration, I mean, if you could sample them almost immediately without having to go up through the system.
That's in water.
Right. Because that collection pool is huge. I mean, you can have, you know, a couple thousand fish swimming around in there, and they would probably be happy to just keep swimming around in there.
I'm always surprised that collection pool doesn't have a braille. Mm-hmm. Doesn't have a crowder out of that.
So I guess the question is, maybe we can have that meeting this summer with all the smart people who know at the facility, have it there. I mean, your schedule's looking like? Can I nail a day down now?
Let's do it.
Did you bring your calendar?
The hottest day of the summer, August 15th.
Because last year.
Because that's important, getting everybody here and then just going through it and start talking about what we can do to improve it.
It was hotter than hell last year.
We did have engineers out there talking to researchers and talking to the project biologists about if we could make this whatever we wanted, what would we do?
When was that?
Going on.
Early 2000s.
Is there any kind of
there's a
letter report?
Checklist.
There should have been.
What was that? how far out of the box were they going when they're thinking?
Well, we were talking with all the researchers, and Earl was still there, so you can imagine how far out of the box things were going, yes. It ranged from some small modifications to taking out those concrete walls and making more space for researchers to work in there. It's when we had five different groups working in there at once, so it might have been 2001, 2002.
Okay, good. Well, let's get that together and still nail down the date.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what we used for which to select the mods we did do. I mean,
that's what that came out of the distribution firms, right? Is that that far back?
Egress, yeah. Wow. That was just before that. We did, that was what happened, and we took the ones that were somewhat feasible and the limits we had there that we could implement.
I think that's when we used the recovery tank.
Yeah.
The August 6th, Thursday.
We did a lot of mods.
Dave, you got anything on August 6th?
Overflow.
No, that's the day I suggested to Tammy to have an FPOM meeting.
Oh, really?
Because we have
preliminary. I think there's a different thinking here, though. I mean,
for the AFAP project.
That was the triage. Is there, you know, do we need to...
There's an Erdic trip in there.
That's first week in August, there's an Erdic trip.
Oh, first week in August.
But I'm we're only Gary.
I don't remember.
In the last week of August, there's an Erdic trip.
How about the 19th of August?
It may or may not conflict with the TMT meeting.
They have a TMT meeting scheduled by then.
By then, it's going to be all dried up and done.
Yeah.
What was this?
The 19th of August. Can we do it then?
No, I've got.
What?
How about the 20th?
20th?
In the afternoon, SCT. There's an SCT meeting in the morning.
How about the 17th? That's the Monday.
17th or 18th? I'm good.
At Bonneville Dam at the facility.
Monday!
Monday the 17th.
Okay.
Nobody wants to go to a staff meeting.
Good.
So August 17th?
August 17th. We'll send out a meeting notice and make sure all the smart people like Clugston and his...
Okay.
So
this meeting is specifically...
...going on that might interfere with that. I got to go find a really specific
thing. Okay, we want you there.
Go to the crypt. It's right over there.
Is this a one-item meeting or is this the regular full FPOM?
No, this will be a meeting on AFF... Okay. Path forward type thing.
At Bonneville?
At Bonneville, at the AFF facility.
Path forward, so this is one you want with TAC or the one with the researchers for modifications?
This one's for future modifications. This is not the TAC.
This is all I want to talk about are future modifications.
Yeah, what we have.
Unless there's some issues that come up.
What we can do. And look at all the problems and look at that return channel and the window.
Just before the heat really gets.
Try to set it up for the morning.
Nine in the morning, or do you want to earlier
morning,
than that?
9 a.m. First thing.
9 a.m.
9 o'clock.
9 a.m.
9 a.m.
At Bonneville.
At Bonneville AFF.
At the AFF.
Yeah.
So do we still come through the Oregon side and get badges and things like that?
Let's meet at
the auditorium and then move over.
Then we can talk a little bit and then move on over to look at.
Okay.
There's not many places to really stand around talking to AFF. So
it's 9 o'clock here in the start time?
John
says meet us at the auditorium at 8:30, so there's enough time.
Okay. If you guys want to get started by 9.
Meet at the auditorium at 8:30?
8:30.
Anytime is fine with me.
All right, 8:30 at the auditorium. Can you snag that room for us? Since you are the project fisheries bio now, So this whole TAC discussion, wow.
Yeah, no, that's going to be different. That's
well,
gonna,
no
this
way.
Is kind of, no way.
What?
17th won't work for me. So. You guys are doing.
There's always
one
guy.
He's from Idaho. Just this. You get the dregs that go upstream, man.
Yeah, this is. Dance around the issue, but what?
Yeah, I'm just going to have to. Don't worry.
Sorry.
So, what day is good for you?
Well,
I'm gonna cheat.
You got an empty calendar.
I'm not on the 17th.
Look at that line.
Montana fishing.
Montana Creole sensing.
Yeah.
How about Tuesday the 18th and we move the FPAC meeting from that morning to Monday?
That's pretty far off for me to. I'm likely not coming in that week.
So,
President's
coming to town, you don't have to change the meeting.
That's our face to face meeting week.
Yeah. SCT.
That could be our face to face meeting week.
18?
Yeah, but.
So, you come in Monday morning and then.
Fishing.
Well, I'm fishing through Monday, but then Sharon's got a meeting in Chico Hot Springs.
can you let us slide and have the meeting and we'll catch up with you? Is that?
Hell yeah.
You can just run it through these guys.
Right. One thing I'd recommend is, you know, once again, going back and figuring out what are the information needs so we can think about how we need to get them.
That's not this meeting. You're right. And that's the one that you need to be at that one. And that meeting is going to
Yeah, that's going to be the big tech meeting. Probably this one is just talking about the facility and how.
If you're going to do that tech meeting, I would just you probably want that like kind of after fall.
Yeah, that's going to be definitely.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I'm not thinking it's going to be at the.
Come on, man. I'll show you.
Oh, you're tired by now. But no, the tag media, everybody's going
to be. Need sample guys.
Let
Actually, it's not that bad.
Okay.
Hey, Bert.
Yeah.
Does it make sense that we're going to use this meeting before you meet with TAC and you find out what your needs are? I mean, you could come up with all sorts of modifications, but never.
But there's no need for it.
Well. It does make sense to me.
Okay.
That way we have something. TAC. Go into the TAC meeting and say, these are the options. This is the limitations.
I'm not going to be here tonight. My family has to go on a vacation. So.
For a
phone. Could you send out the same email you sent everybody else? With the attachment. The thing you sent out for this thing that I didn't get.
Yeah, I'll send it to Rick. Sorry.
Okay, no, that's okay.
So, okay, old afterthought idea.
It's
kind of your punishment.
So,
for your absence.
So Jeff got together with Dan Roddy and looked at doing a feasibility study to do determine A's and B's, and you know, so they would need funding for it. Well, yeah, that's the issue. So there's a funding issue, and then there's a technical issue with how close you can crowd fish to get an accurate measurement.
But see, whatever it is, if you're trying to find some index that actually works, whether it's those things may or may not be the issue, right. Depending
let
on
them eat cake.
Yeah, once you start testing.
Well, or likewise, I mean, what I think we're going to end up finding out through GSI is that the length for AV splits is ridiculous.
Well, we all know that.
But this way, there's the
Yakima
data.
Cherries, they're not from my tree. I have a pie cherry.
I think so.
Genetic sampling makes
you feel better. We're not going to talk about it.
If you end up saying that,
I think we're pretty much done.
Index is very good anyway, so we're going to stop doing that somewhere. If we have proper genetic.
It's extra creamy.
Come on.
I don't know if the phone is on.
Come on, this lamprey and Mentos.
Holy